Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto. Time to show you the way of franchising today. Hey, do you possess the spirit of an entrepreneur? Wanna lay your business plan down like a rug or a floor? Or maybe you have a dream of opening a chain of delis? Or whatever passion lights that pilot light under your belly? Or do you want to start a business, fam, using the proven trademark from another brand? And grow together and expand like a rage of fire, from a single to a multi-unit empire. Well, pay attention to this podcast that you hear and streaming in HD. Fine-tune both your ears, and Stan and Paul lays down the law. Whether you want to be a franchisee or a franchisor, it's all about sustainable growth, the sensible franchising, proven concepts, the smart enterprising. So use your left and right side of your brain and absorb this knowledge here of franchising today. Badlands, baby. Franchising today. Sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today. Sustainable growth to sensible franchise. Franchise today. Franchise today. Franchise today. Yeah.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Welcoming back today my co-host, Stan Friedman, who last week was at the Franchise Updates Leadership and Development Conference and was unable to join us. Stan, welcome back.
Hey, Paul. Good to be back. Lots going on. Busy, busy times.
Man, it's so busy. A matter of fact, my wife said to me yesterday, so in 2 weeks you're going to L.A., right? And I said, no, that's 3 weeks, isn't it? She said, no, it's 2 weeks. So it's always good to have a backstop there. We had a great show last week at Brian and Daya, the COO from L&L Hawaiian Barbecue. It was an interesting show for an iconic brand that's been around with 200 units, but has definitely gone through some different challenges bringing their brand from Hawaii to the mainland. And Stan, you were at the Update conference. Why don't you give us a little bit of an update in your perspective to that conference, which, of course, is one of the best, I believe, on the circuit. But unfortunately, I could not get there this year.
Well, I couldn't get to the show last week, and you couldn't get to the conference this year. But you know what, Paul? Everybody's got to be somewhere, and no matter where we go, there we are. Conference was great. Probably the biggest I've ever seen it. And literally, I can't remember any time in the past where the conference grew to a size where there were people that I actually never got to see. There were people registered that I knew were there, and I never found them, which is, you know, it's a testament to the growth of the conference. But, you know, to me, it's a little bit, it hurts a little bit, because that's what I love about this conference, is how focused it is and how targeted it is, like a laser beam to all things development, whether it's, you know, lead gen to marketing to franchise sales. And the universe of people attending this year, it was just exponential. The growth is a statement to how hot franchising is right now. No matter who in government has tried to slow down our business model over the last many years, you'd never know it by the attitudes and by the excitement, the enthusiasm, the energy level. This conference was just on every – it hit it out of the park for me. It was 10 out of 10 on every front.
Wow, that's really great. What else is going on in the world of franchising right now?
Just a couple of things that caught my eye this week, Paul. You know, speaking to another validation of how hot franchising is, private equity is just heating up if it wasn't already hot. So Dateline Friday, Culver's sells a minority interest to Rock Capital of the iconic quick-serve Wisconsin-based brand Culver's Custard. Man, I've loved that stuff for a zillion years. And right on the heels of that announcement came another one with NRD Capital acquiring Ruby Tuesdays. And that's going to be an interesting one to watch, because that's an iconic brand with brand equity. But, you know, they've had declining store sales, and they've had a lot of of regrouping with some closures over the last couple of years. With Aziz and his team, there's no place to go but up, and I'm sure it will. But that's one to keep an eye on. You know, that crowded space is, when it's in the hands of people who are proven pilots, it's going to be fun to see what NRD does with a brand like Ruby Tuesday. So keep an eye on that going forward. And speaking of keeping an eye on things, I could not turn on my TV last week to Fox News or CNN without seeing the ubiquitous Katherine Monson. She was there at the president's executive order signing, along with a list of luminaries, including Shelley Sun, Robert Cresante, and others. But it looked to me like she got a little bit of a second bite of the apple. I saw her also on Fox Business on the back end of her standing behind Donald Trump. But everywhere the president appeared on every one of the news clips, you know how there's always a group of luminaries standing behind him. Well, Katherine Monson was in, just, she was everywhere. I mean, literally, she was
all over
the screen. And she also was front and center
for sure.
Yeah. So, but it's a great thing. It's great for us. It's great for franchising. You know, things like this are happening with our leadership in place. And hats off to the amount of time and energy that Katherine and Shelley and others in leadership have peeled off from their own businesses to continue to push and protect the brand of franchising for each and every one of us. So thanks go out to them. Paul, upcoming, just a couple of things. We've got the Emerging Franchisor Conference on the horizon. We've got FranTech going on this week, the West Coast Franchise Expo, the first week in November. So as you said, it's that time of year where things that seemed or felt like they were out there in the distance, not so much. It's silly season in franchising, and I'm happy to be playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Things are just creeping up on us, and before you know it, we'll be entering our ninth year of Franchise Today, which, of course, our anniversary is in January. You know, there's one more on the private equity scene, too, Stan, that kind of sat below everybody's radar, but only occurred just a couple of weeks ago. And it was Icahn Enterprises of the entrepreneur called Icahn. His company acquired American Driveline Systems, which is the franchisor of AAMCO and Cottman Service Centers. And that sale actually involved some 680 locations in the U.S. and Canada. And with the addition of ADS, Icahn Automotive now operates over 1,900 owned and franchised service locations in 49 states, plus Puerto Rico, the District of Columbia, and several other international locations. And, of course, over the years, that's all we heard about was private equity and food brands. And, of course, you know, Rourke, as we know, has, you know, Fast Signs and are buying other brands. And it seems like, you know, private equity is just going now completely to the wall, looking at, you know, every opportunity, good unit economics, good business growth, or in the case with NRD Capital, Aziz and his great team are looking at a brand that they can turn around. So it is a changing landscape in franchising. Couple that with all the emerging brands that have come on, as Aziz said on the show last year, at the clip of one a day for the last 2.5 years, with no end in sight over the next 2 or 3 years. Franchising is really, really, really gaining some steam, and it's an exciting time for sure.
No doubt, and I missed that on Icahn. You know, and that's just like me missing some people at the conference. I don't know how that one slid by me. That's no small deal. I mean, that is a substantial and significant.
And actually, it only popped on my radar because obviously I spent so many years in the transmission industry,
sure,
and still have some friends and colleagues in the industry, and it came to me through one of the service groups this morning on a Facebook Messenger and said, "Hey, did you hear?" So it was completely below my radar, and I probably have some of the strongest ties into that industry segment. Well, without further ado, I'd like to move forward with today's show that we've aptly titled Born in Italy, Made in America, and Keeping It Real. And, of course, we're talking about Rosati's Pizza, and today's guest is Marla Topliff, the president at Rosati's Pizza. And there's an interesting quote that I found from Marla that said, "Don't let your gender become an issue. If your company's a boys' club, then join the club. Remember to be an equal first. You have to prove yourself as an equal. Then you can go on and become the club president." Marla, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you with us today. And it was interesting, you know, as we often do in preparation for the show, looking at different quotes, looking at different press that's out there. And, of course, we always wind up learning things about our guests that we didn't know before. And I think that's just a perfect segue into what we normally discuss with our guests, which is you didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go into franchising. And everybody has this unique track, at least most people do. Well, you certainly do. So to start us off, why don't you take us back, and you can take us back as far as you would like, bring us up to speed, give us some, you know, milestones, some highlights as to, you know, what your journey has been and how you wound up as the president of Rosati's Pizza.
Thank you. I'm actually going to take you back about 20 years, which is when I started with Rosati's Pizza. I started out as their director of marketing 20 years ago, back in the 90s. And when I came into this company, it was a family-run company, and they had about, I don't know, maybe 60 units at the time. But all 60 units looked different. You were using different logos, different menus. There was no continuity there. So my first job as director of marketing was to try to organize them and get them to become one company as opposed to 60 separate companies. I started out by writing a marketing manual and an operations manual. I went to a company that does graphic design and had them design a full set of logos and artwork, and I had that put on 1,000 discs, believe it or not, and then I got in the car and hit the road and started visiting stores one at a time, introducing myself, introducing the operations manual, introducing the marketing manual, and giving everybody a copy of the disc and telling them going forward, this is the only logo you'll be able to use. These are the only graphics you'll be able to use. And within, I'd say, maybe 2 to 3 years, we were able to become one consistent company where everybody was doing the same thing and looked the same. It was pretty exciting at the time, and we had not thought about franchising yet, but we were getting close. Our growth was mostly organic. Somebody who had worked for us at one store would decide that they really liked Rosati's and they wanted to open up their own store, so they would ask, and we were working with license agreements at the time. And that's how we started to grow. About 5 years down the road, in the year about, I think it was 2000, they were very pleased with the work that I was doing and asked me to become president of the company. There were 10 shareholders, and it was a good way for them to get, you know, agreement on what they wanted to have done within a company. So I became president of the company around the year 2000. We then decided to try franchising for the first time, and we were not very organized at the time. We did do an FDD. We did do, you know, the regulations and went out and started trying to franchise the company. We didn't do so well on our first attempt. And in some respects, that's a good thing, because when you start something and you make a lot of mistakes doing it, you learn from those mistakes and you learn how to make the system even better. We stopped for a little while in 2005. We picked it up again. And now we're very strong in franchising. We're on every portal. Well, we're on at least 2 or 3 portals. We go to every franchise show. We have a designated vice president of franchise sales, and we've grown from that little 60 stores that I remember when we started to close to 200 now. So we've become very successful. We've also branched out and gone from just being a carryout delivery type business to now we have full sit-down sports pubs, which are, have been very, very popular and very, very successful for us.
So it's very interesting, you know, coming in through marketing, and I kind of chuckled about the different hats you had to wear, you know, all of a sudden you're writing operations manuals and what have you, but it seemed early on you knew exactly what needed to be done, which of course was uniformity of the brand and uniformity of the system. So, you know, definitely hats off to you on that, especially, you know, coming into a brand where there was so much, you know, disorganization with respect to, you know, the uniformity of the brand. Tell us a little bit about, you know, that, you know, coming out of that, that first wave, now you're president in the organization, and now the organization is really starting to, you know, franchise. And, of course, you're in a competitive space. I mean, pizza is one of the continues to still be one of the most competitive space. You know, what were you looking at as far as, you know, the differentiating factor? I mean, and obviously, you know, marketing had to come into the equation as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you know this or not, but Americans eat about 23 pounds of pizza a year on an average. So it's a lot. It's a very, very popular food, and it's one that will never go out of fashion or never go out of style. Knowing that, and knowing that there's about 67,000 to 70,000 pizzerias in America, we had to think of or come up with a way to differentiate ourselves. And so my focus went from the beginning has always been to tell our story, which is it's a fascinating story. The Rosati's family have actually been around for close to 100 years. They started out as a single store back in 1927 when the great-grandfather of the family opened a store on Taylor Street, and then he passed that on to his kids, and they were always in the pizza business, and it's the same recipe that they've been using forever. And pizza started out for us as a small appetizer that he used to set on the table for people to try to see if they liked it, that with the tomato and oil on it, and it became very popular. In 1965, we opened up our first carryout delivery in Mount Prospect, Illinois, and 11 of the Rosati's family members were working together in that business, and it was a great family business. And so we have always kept our story based on the fact that we are a family and that our recipes are 100 years old and that they're directly from Italy, from Naples. In fact, for our 50th anniversary, we gave away a trip to Naples so they could see where we started from. And from that, we've been able to take that marketing piece and use that to help tell our franchising story, because when we're trying to recruit franchisees, it's always about join our family, become part of our family, and we'll treat you like part of the family. So it's been a successful formula for us for all of these years. We have my main function and concern is to try to work with the franchising aspect of it. I'm very involved with working with Tim McCarthy, who is our vice president of franchising, and I go to all the shows with him, and we have a really intense discovery days when we have people into our office. But again, like I said, our distinction is we built a great story around the fact that we are a family-owned and operated company.
I've kind of done a little research that goes back a little further than those 1927 dates that you referred to, Marla, and actually found an amazing fact. And given that Paul and I are both native New Yorkers, I've learned that your roots really weren't just Italy to Chicago, but by way of New York. Tell us a little
Coney
about
Island,
that.
Coney Island, yeah. We started out in Coney Island. Sam Rosati came from Italy, and his first stop was in New York. And he actually had a business in Coney Island in the 1900s and didn't come to Chicago till 1927. And that was our first go at opening. It wasn't pizza at the time. It was just basically an Italian restaurant from the old family Italian restaurant recipes, which we still create today. We still have pasta and a lot of the old recipes that were around going back to the early 1900s. But yes, our first offering was in Coney Island, New York. I keep forgetting about that part.
It became something of interest as a native New Yorker, and as actually a native New Yorker that grew up on Coney Island Avenue. So I'm a Brooklyn boy. I wasn't around early enough to remember.
So, Stan, do you remember Rosati's of Coney Island?
Yeah, I was about to disclaim the fact that I didn't, Paul. So don't go starting with these jokes. So we're only into the hour, my buddy.
Actually, our first pizza creation was called Pizza Aliolio. And it was just plain oil with tomatoes on top. And it was just an appetizer that we would put on the tables. And in 27, when we owned our restaurant in Chicago, we would have people come in like Jack Haley from The Wizard of Oz, or you would see Al Capone coming in for dinner. Or you'd see him sitting across the restaurant from Elliot Ness. It was really kind of cool. We were like a famous stopping point on Taylor Street before, you know, back in the early 20s.
So walk us up to the current day, and let's talk a little bit about the brand from the consumer's perspective and who it is that you attract, who it is that are your raving fans, and what are some of those differentiators. And we can talk, too, about the fact that the brand has morphed, as you've said. It's more than just a 1,200 square foot box anymore. You've got some sports bar activity going on too. So let's talk about both and who it is that that is your raving fan and what it is you do to attract them to you.
Well, you know, about 2 years ago, we were looking at the onset of all the fast casual pizza companies that were coming in. A lot of the pizza companies that, you know, 5 minutes and you have a pizza, were beginning to hit the scene very big. And they have become very predominant in the pizzeria industry. We decided we needed to do something that was going to be different than just carry out and delivery. We own the Chicago market. We're very big. We have the biggest share there. And our customers are basically middle-class families who like to eat pizza during a football game or a baseball game or around sports-related issues and games and whatever. So we decided to open up sports bars and give these families a place to come to as opposed to just bringing their food home. We still do carry-on delivery, and all of our sports bars also offer carry-on delivery. But since we've opened the sports pubs, I think we're up to 16 of them right now, and considering it's only been in about 2 years, that's not too bad. They go anywhere from, I'd say, 6,000 square feet to about 8,000 square feet, 60 to 70 TVs in the bar. They do things for the kids, like they'll have one or two TVs designated for cartoons or whatever, so a family could come in and mom could be watching a cooking show and dad could be watching a sports show and a kid could be watching SpongeBob or whatever. And so we've tried to make it so it's entertainment for the whole family, and it's working. People do like to have a place to go where the check average is more of a medium as opposed to high. And it's not considered fast food. It's considered regular restaurant fare. And people can just come with their family and enjoy themselves. So we've been very fortunate that we made the shift. And although we are still opening carry-on delivery stores, it seems to be predominantly in the franchise world, we're franchising sports pubs.
Well, that's some really interesting information. I mean, you know, going from, you know, pizza to sports clubs, sports pubs. So it's really a unique differentiating factor there. Has the menu expanded as well? I know you said you have pastas and stuff, but has it expanded to anything that would not be considered the normal Italian fare?
Some of our stores will carry things like gyros. We also carry things, salads, a lot of salads for people who are watching their weight. We've gone to gluten-free for pasta and pizza. But we have a full Italian menu, per se. Some of our stores carry ribs and chicken. Mostly it's pizza and pasta and sandwiches and salads that people are coming in for. We're predominantly a pizzeria, though. People love our pizza. We have five different crust size styles so that, you know, you could get your choice of any of how you like it. And it seems to be something that if you have a lot of variety or enough variety that everybody can choose from, you get more of a more people coming in. Our menu is not so big that when you look at it, you're reading a book. But it's big enough that it will provide something for everyone.
So, you know, you're taking over an iconic brand. I mean, certainly that's been around for, I believe I read, five generations.
Yes.
And obviously a lot of family involved. How has that interaction been, especially as the brand, you know, continues to evolve and obviously it's evolving from, you know, where it once was to where it is today? What's the mindset in working with the family?
They're a great family to work with. We are on the fifth generation right now. It seems like in the last couple of years, or at least when I started, what we call the forefathers who founded our company had retired, and they had left that to their sons, who are a group of 10 cousins, and now that group is leaving it to their sons. And it's kind of cool to watch each generation come in because they all have the same mindset. They all grew up within the business. They all had to work within the stores, and so they understand the business completely. And as I said, very family-oriented, so they treat all of their employees like family. Their franchisees are treated that way as well. We have a great franchise conference every couple of years, and everybody feels like they've known the family forever. So it's a great family feel.
You're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segretto. And we're talking today with pizza industry franchising icon Marla Topoff. And that's not an overstatement by any stretch. Marla is very active not only in running her business, but in the International Franchise Association and its membership committee, as well as the Pizza Council of the National Restaurant Association. So leadership is something that is no stranger to Marla Topoff. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, where they've been bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years. The Foundry fosters healthy, sustainable growth for their clients, the kind that comes from experience. The Franchise Foundry provides both coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach delivering more effective solutions for both the franchisor's corporate team as well as for their franchisees. The Franchise Foundry is rich in practical, hands-on experience and expertise with general business management, operational and change management, digital marketing, and, of course, franchise recruitment and development. Plus, the Foundry team can also assist with creating roadmaps for potential mergers and acquisitions and providing the guidance needed to navigate them. Learn more about Paul Segretto and the Franchise Foundry, along with their expanding list of clients, at www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today is also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM empowers real-time business intelligence, communication, and collaboration between all members of the franchisor's team and prospective as well as existing franchisees. This enables you to simply and seamlessly access, track, manage all messages to and from prospective as well as existing franchisees, including text. Legal and compliance is simplified, too, with FRM's document management. And even site visits can be digitally facilitated and scored using FRM. Make today the day you give FRM a look and assure that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including texts, are being permanently tracked and stored in candidate and franchisee records. FRM even provides state-of-the-art digital experiences for prospective franchisees replacing old-style virtual brochures. No long-term contracts, no excuses, just solutions. On the web at frmsolutions.com.
Franchise pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands, baby. Franchising today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today, sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today, franchise today.
That's right. It's Franchise Today, and we are just finishing our mid-show break. Today we're talking pizza, born in Italy, made in America, and keeping it real with Marla Topliff, the president of Rosati's Pizza. And Marla, before we move into the franchise proposition, I wanted to talk some about, you know, all your involvement in different things. Stan mentioned about the Pizza Council, National Restaurant Association, but one that's also dear to my heart is No Kid Hungry. Tell us a little bit about that and your involvement, the brand's involvement, because it's because of you that I've gotten involved in it and have become very passionate about it, and I thank you for that.
I appreciated all your help. No Kid Hungry is a great organization. There are over 6 million children a day that go hungry in America. And at school, they go to school and they can't afford to buy lunch. They don't have food at home to bring lunch, so they're hunger deficient. And No Kid Hungry helps to change that. For every dollar that's donated to No Kid Hungry, 10 meals are supplied for children who can't afford to get their own. And it's becoming a very big issue in America. You know, kids can't learn if they're hungry. They can't concentrate. They'll go to school, and as most people know, you know, and being in the restaurant business is one of the reasons that this is so dear to my heart, is that our job is to feed people. That's what we're here for. Any restaurateur, that's their main purpose, is to feed people. The most important people to feed would be the children. And No Kid Hungry is really sponsored by just about every restaurant company in America. There's a lot of big chains like Arby's and Shake Shack and Garamaldi's, and there's just several chains that are out there that spend thousands of dollars in the month of September to try to help promote the No Kid Hungry cause. And I'm proud to say that we raise several thousand, hundred thousands of dollars to help feed children every day. And it's so important. It's, you know, we want this country to grow. It's not going to grow if our kids are not prepared to be able to take the responsibility and leadership roles. And it's just common sense on our part as restaurateurs that we do our best to try to support that kind of a cause.
Well, it certainly is a great cause indeed. And for those of you that are interested, check out their website at www.nokidhungry.org. And if you're on Twitter, they're at NoKidHungry. And, of course, the hashtag, it goes without saying, is hashtag NoKidHungry. So, you know, great organization. I know, Marla, you've done a great job helping to promote that through social media.
I'm actually on their – I'm on their board as well. And a part of our job is to promote more or to encourage more restaurants to become part of it. And for any restaurateur who's out there and they want to be a part of it, just let us know and we'll be happy to give you information on how you could be included as well.
Well, that'll be great. Well, tell us a little bit about the franchise opportunity, some of the basics about it, and why you consider it different than other opportunities that might appear on the surface to be similar.
Our franchise opportunity is a little bit different because we keep our initial franchise fee fairly low. It's $25,000 as a franchise fee. And we do that to encourage people to become part of the company. An all-in amount for doing like a carry-out and delivery goes anywhere from a low end of $131,000 to about $420,000 all-in again. So you can become a Rosati's franchisee at a fairly reasonable cost. If you were looking at a sports pub, again, the franchise fee, again, is only $25,000, and that's usually significantly lower than most other companies or than a lot of other companies. And even for a dine-in or a sports pub, you can really start anywhere from about $260,000 up to about $1.2 million. So you can get involved with our company at a fairly reasonable rate.
So that must have a very, very diverse difference in how you train and prepare franchisees for the brand. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have a fairly rigorous training program. Our franchisees, our new franchisees, will go to one of our training stores closest to them. We prefer Chicago, but if they're in a different state, we'll send them to a store in a different state. They'll be there for 3 weeks, and they'll do every bit of work that can be possibly done, from making pizzas to cleaning the bathrooms to sweeping the floors. They have to learn every aspect of the business. After those 3 weeks are up and the store is within, I'd say, a week or two of opening, we will send a crew out to their store for an additional 3 weeks to help them with the opening and to get them started on the right foot. So we are very hands-on in the training department.
Marla, do you start all your owner-operators as owner-operators, or do you have franchisees that are prior experienced with other brands perhaps and from other branded food concepts coming to you that are looking for larger area development opportunities? Do you do both?
We do both. We have multi-unit areas that are available. As far as who we have as franchisees, we sort of prefer somebody with who doesn't come from another brand, less to unteach them. But we will train anybody who we feel is going to make a good Rosati's franchisee. When you do take people who come from another brand, they will come in with preconceived ideas sometimes, and sometimes those are harder franchisees to train than people who have no idea. The only thing we look for in a franchisee is somebody with a great business acumen who understands how business is run as opposed to just the pizza business.
So who are the individuals that you're looking for? What type of characteristics should they have? What type of experience should they have?
Number one, like I said, great business acumen. People who understand what business is all about. People who are hard workers, because I don't think a lot of people understand that the restaurant business is a 24/7 business sometimes. You're working maybe 100 hours a week, and sometimes there's not a break. It just depends. Somebody who's not afraid to work hard and get their hands dirty. Somebody who is pretty much loyal and who is intelligent. I mean, those are all the acumen, the things we're looking for in a franchisee. Of course, we want people to have a stable financial background, and that's always important in this kind of a business as well.
So talk a little bit about the day in the life. What does some people think when they hear people talking about things like home care or home cleaning franchises, they say, well, I don't take care of that. I'm not cleaning houses. That's not me. And they don't understand that the role of the franchisor or the franchisee is not to be the person doing the cleaning. Do you run into those kinds of situations in your in your business? The guy says, hey, listen, I don't want to be baking pizza. Tell us about what a day in life looks like.
You know, it's interesting because everybody thinks it's easy. They seriously do. I remember that it had to be maybe 2 years ago. I had to go back for my retraining, which meant I'd spent a couple of days in the store learning how to do everything all over again, because I had to go through the same training that a franchisee does so I can be able to explain to a franchisee what it's like to train. And I went into the store and they said to me, okay, we're going to make pizzas now. And I felt like, you know, it was hard. It was very, very hard. And I think people don't understand that in this business, it's not just coming in and throwing some sauce on a piece of dough. You have to get that dough formed. You have to, you know, put it on exactly right to the exact measurements. You have to make sure the ingredients are correct. And on like a Friday night, you're doing that at a rate of like one every couple of minutes. And it gets to be very, very difficult to manage. So when we have a trainee coming in, we're going to start them out on, we usually start them out on a pizza line and make them learn how to portion. Because if you're going to lose money in a pizzeria restaurant, it's going to be by portioning incorrectly, putting on too much cheese, putting on too much sauce, not using the right ingredients. There's nothing worse than having a lot of waste in the store. So that's one of the first things we're going to train on. We're also going to train... we're also going to train on portioning for pasta and how to cook pasta so it's not overdone and it's not coming out mushy, and how to package things properly so that when you do deliver them, they get to the customer's house hot and edible. You'd be surprised how you can mess up on a delivery by just packaging your products wrong.
Absolutely. And talking about portions and costs, do you offer any kind of an item 19 or financial performance representation to your prospectives?
Yes, we do. We have an item 19, a performa for, an item 19, I think that's what they're calling it these days. Back when I started 20 years ago, it was called a performa, but yes, we definitely do. You have to, basically, because everybody wants to know. I mean, a smart person will want to know the financials before they get involved in a business. And if you have somebody who says, yes, I want a franchise, but they don't ask about your financials, it's a red flag.
Well, given that you've got one, would you like to share it?
You can actually find my performa online. It's awfully long, item 19. But we do have it on our website if anybody's interested in looking at it, and that's at rosatisfranchising.com.
So, Muller, question regarding the item 19, because you have a couple of different models. Is there an item 19 for the different models?
No. We actually have an item 19 that's a combination, but it is mostly for the pups. We found that right now most of our franchising, we have very few requests for carry-out deliveries anymore. So we built our item 19, which we only built like 2 years ago. When the pubs started taking off, and we realized that we really needed to have something to be able to explain it. Nothing worse than being at a show and everybody's asking you for information on how much things cost, and you know you can't discuss it. So we will usually hand out a thumb drive with the item 19 on it and tell them that they can take it and look at it, and then they can respond to us with questions regarding it, because if you're at a show, it's usually very busy. And same thing with the portals. When they're on a portal, if they want information on the item 19, we'll send it to them, because we usually like them to take their time and look over it and then come back to us with a question so we have time to really utilize it in the best way we can.
That's excellent. You know, Marla, I want to shift gears here once again and go back to the quote that I read at the beginning of the show. I'm going to read it again. It's from you where you said, don't let your gender become an issue. If your company is a boys' club, then join the club. Remember, to be an equal, first you have to prove yourself as an equal. Then you can go on to become club president. And, of course, you're in an industry that I think it's fair to say started out and probably still is today a boys' club, and
for
yet
sure.
you've risen through the ranks, and not only a boys' club but also one that's steep in traditions and immigrant traditions, and where many times the female was kind of in the kitchen or on the back burner, so to speak. So explain, you know, what you did and what you meant in this quote about, you know, doing what you have to do in order to become the leader. Because, you know, we've had, you know, many great female founders and entrepreneurs, and I really despise the term female founder or female entrepreneur. And I've said this to, you know, Catherine Monson and Shelley Sun and others that have been on, because I just recognize them as entrepreneurs. It doesn't matter to me whether they're male or female. So I am real interested in this quote and what you mean by it. And maybe you have some advice for the next Marla that might be looking at working their way up into the boys industry.
I honestly believe you have to have thick skin. You really have to not take things personally, especially in this business. First of all, you can't let language bother you whatsoever. It's a rough business, and you have to learn to adjust to the roughness of it. You have to be willing to dig in and do whatever anybody else is doing and not use the fact that I'm a female saying, oh, no, I can't do that, I'm a woman. I could do anything a man could do. And there shouldn't be any division between, you know, sexes, whether I'm a woman or a man, it doesn't matter. I can go in and stand there on my feet all day long and make pizza if I have to. I can clean bathrooms if I have to. I can fire a franchisee if I have to. I can do whatever it takes to get the job done. And I think that there are some women who are afraid to take that leap. You can't be afraid. You have to just exert yourself and put yourself out there and be willing to take whatever steps you need to take to get the job done. Shelley Sun is a great example of that. She's a tough lady. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for somebody like that who is not afraid to take whatever steps they need to take to get the job done. If I were going to give advice to any woman in the industry, it's never to back down. You know, never to say no. You know, somebody says to you, you can't do something, look them right in the eye and say, yes, I can. Try me. And then find whatever way you need to find to get the job done. That's what I did. When I started out doing that 20 years ago, I came in, I assessed the situation and realized what steps I had to take. And then I went out there in my car every day and worked to get the job done. And I do that still now. It's just like going to franchise shows and being there, because I am the president of the company and people like to see the president involved in the franchise. Don't be afraid, just because you have a title or just because you have a name, to get out there and do the everyday work that has to be done. It just has to be done. And I think there's a lot of women who are a lot stronger than they think they are. But I think once they try it, they'll see that it feels good.
You know, as one of the IFA's founding members of its Diversity Institute, I love hearing inspiration coming from women and minorities in franchising to inspire many who think that an opportunity for ownership of a business is something that must be meant for someone standing to their left or to their right, because they just don't give themselves permission to believe you could be talking to them. And
that's
so
right.
you sharing this wisdom is something that maybe we take for granted on a daily basis, because we're around the Marla Topoffs and the Shelley Sons in the world so often. But for the audience of those who are looking for inspiration in terms of getting into a business of your own, don't pay short shrift to these words. Anyone can do this if they're determined. Marla, what would you give as a nugget to somebody who needed just one more push? What kind of advice would you give somebody, whether it was for yours or any franchise? What should they do first before they start looking at brands that they think might appeal to them?
They need to decide if the brand they're looking at is really for them. They need to do research. Anybody who tries to go into something blind is making a mistake. So the first thing they need to do is research the company they're thinking about becoming a part of, and then sit down and talk to people, whether it be people who are in the franchise or people who are around the franchise, and ask them what it's like to be part of their team. And that's probably the most important part. And a lot of people make the mistake by thinking this is something they want to do, and it's really not. So they need to understand the opportunity, and then they need to make sure that it's the opportunity that they really, really want.
Sage advice and really, really valuable wisdom. Marla, for those who may be looking to hit the trail here, we've got the West Coast Expo coming up pretty soon and some other conferences like the Emerging Conference. Where can people find you in the weeks ahead if they wanted to try to have a conversation that gives them a little bit more than the hour that we've given here?
I will be at the West Coast Expo in 2 weeks, I guess it is, Paul said. I thought it was three as well, but but in 2 weeks I'll be in Los Angeles at the West Coast Expo as well. We just did the Springboard conference. I was there with Paul as well, and we're working with emerging franchisers, and it was very gratifying to be able to be with people who are just starting in this industry and be able to give them information and advice. And if anybody's going to be at the West Coast franchise and they want to talk some more, I'll be very happy to spend time with them.
Well, Marla, we really appreciate you taking the time out of a very, very busy schedule. I, too, thought we had an extra week between now and the Franchise Expo West, but, you know, I look forward to seeing you out there, of course, as always. Thank you again for being our guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you too, Marla. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Well, Stan, there you go. We didn't even talk about the weather today. It's a cool day here in Houston, Texas. And so you can expect that in the days to come in
it's already
in Atlanta,
here, Paul.
Of course.
It's sweater weather. It's already here.
Yeah, that's great. And I do want to, say really a heartfelt thoughts and prayers going out to everybody just north of the Bay Area and in wine country. I mean, what a tremendous tragedy going on with the wildfires in Sonoma and Napa. And I know many people in franchising live there. Many people in franchising visit there. But anyway, my heart goes out to you. Of course, you know, we're riding the disaster wave from Irma and Harvey. And of course, what went on with Maria down in Puerto Rico is just very, very difficult. So, you know, whether it be No Kid Hungry or any one of those organizations, the United Way or whatever, you know, give. That's what franchising is all about. You know, we do a great job giving back. And now more than ever, we have so many people in need. So let's keep that on the forefront of our minds.
Sounds like a plan, Paul, and I'm certain everybody's on board with it.
Yep, yes indeed. Well, until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, on this great, great thing called franchising. Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto. Time to show you the way of franchising today. Hey, do you possess the spirit of an entrepreneur? Wanna lay your business plan down like a rug or a floor? Or maybe you have a dream of opening a chain of delis? Or whatever passion lights that pilot light under your belly? Or do you want to start a business, fam, using the proven trademark from another brand? And grow together and expand like a rage of fire, from a single to a multi-unit empire. Well, pay attention to this podcast that you hear, and streaming in HD, so fine-tune both your ears. And Stan and Paul lays down the law, whether you want to be a franchisee or a franchisor. It's all about sustainable growth, the sensible franchising, proven concepts, the smart enterprising. So use your left and right side of your brain and absorb this knowledge here of franchising today. Badlands, baby. Franchising today. Sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today. Sustainable growth, the sensible franchising. Franchise today. Franchise today.